It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and thank you for joining me this morning. My guest this morning, who I've had on the air many times before, is a very esteemed gentleman, and I call you a gentleman, Terry Luft. It's Terry Luft, who is the director, and actually he is the CEO of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership, and he is responsible for doing some of the most important work in the country, or leading some of the most important work in the country, on looking at economic efficiency and program efficiency within conservation. So, Terry, what I want to do this morning is talk to you about what's going on in the last few weeks, and as many of you know, Terry had a long, very illustrious career in media in America, when it seems as though we are as sportsmen and women and people who love the outdoors, we're actually cannibalizing ourselves. And what I mean by that is recently REI, one of the nation's largest retailers, announced that it would no longer sell any outdoor products associated with the Vista Outdoor Groups. Right. Outdoor group, which happens just by chance to have been run and built by a friend of mine, Mark DeYoung, a very capable and enthusiastic outdoorsman, very capable businessman. He built this incredible company of bringing all these brands under one roof. And then you get a company like REI and says, well, because you make a certain kind of firearms weapon, we're not going to buy your bicycle helmets and we're not going to buy your ski goggles. And then you have Dick's Sporting Goods saying they're not going to sell firearms. Have we lost focus? That as people who love the outdoors, whether you ride a bike or whether you happen to love to hunt, that we're all in this together because the revenues that come from the excise taxes and everything are what are used to support outdoor recreation and conservation. Do people really understand, does the American public really understand what's taking place across the country as far as how we fund the outdoors?
No, I don't think they do, Charlie, and that's been a refrain that you and I have talked about for years here on WGN. Regardless of how you feel about AR-15s or other, use the phrase you wish. Some people call them modern sporting rifles. Others use the term assault rifles. They're firearms. Regardless of how you feel about them, you're missing out that the excise taxes on firearms, ammunition, and archery equipment. It's an 11% excise tax that's placed on manufacturers through the Pittman-Robertson Act, and that is one of the major, major funders of the Department of the Interior for habitat conservation, wildlife research, hunter's ed, and other uses that benefit hunting and outdoor recreation. In addition, one of the things that people need to realize is that hunters and the outdoor recreation community really need each other. In the last several years, as another topic has arisen that you and I have talked about extensively on this program, and your listeners are well aware of, there's been a lot of argument over the public land access, and particularly in the West. And the outdoor rec crowd and hunters and shooters have basically banded together to fight the idea that, to support public lands and to fight the idea that the federal government should be divesting itself. And, without hunters, the outdoor rec community has no money to fund them. There's no excise taxes on backpacks. And, in fact, that industry vehemently opposes excise taxes. And we as hunters and shooters, we need the outdoor rec people to broaden our base of support and bring political pressure to bear on those who would like to do away with our precious public lands. So we need each other. We don't need to be fighting each other.
So I was asked a couple of years ago and was honored to do so and to serve on a quote-unquote blue ribbon panel to restore and sustain America's fish and wildlife and outdoor recreation resources. And it's chaired by Johnny Morris, the founder and chairman of Bass Pro, and Governor Freudenthal, former governor of Wyoming. And the whole idea is to bring everybody in the outdoor industry in under one tent, mm-hmm. and to see how much revenue we can generate from user fees and taxes to take outdoor recreation and access, bike trails, parks, fishing docks, boat launches, you know, places for people to hunt, how we can take it to a whole new paradigm. And in that room and on this group are people from every walk of industry. The chairman of Bell Bicycle Helmets is on the group. I'm on the group. You know, people from the Peasants Forever are on the group. It is hook and bullet, and it is outdoor recreation. And then you look at a company like REI or Dick's that say, we're going to single out a certain element because they manufacture guns of a certain kind. How do we ever come together? If there was not a Pittman-Robertson Act passed many years ago, there would be no excise tax on for hunting and outdoor recreation and access on the sale of firearms and ammunition. We'd be tens of billions, maybe 100 billion, I don't know the real number, behind. And yet the outdoor recreation as a whole, as a community as a whole, you said, can't come together to support a tax on, you know, the use of binoculars.
Right. And, you know, and let's also remember, too, Charlie, that another major funding mechanism for conservation in this country, the Land and Water Conservation Fund, is under fire, too. I mean, there is a conservation funding crisis in this country. That is why it's so important for us to be efficient with the expenditure of the money that we have. But as we seek and divide each other, we are really slitting our own throats. I mean, let's be realistic about this. This is, you know, Vista owns Savage Arms, which makes some AR-15 clones. And, you know, the truth of the matter is Savage is going to be just fine. The best thing that happens to gun companies is pushes for more gun controls because it drives up sales of people who think they won't be able to get their guns anymore. What you do have to worry about, and I worry about this, is that, yeah, REI doesn't have much specific hunting-related stuff in their stores. But there's the brands that they're talking about, Camp Chef, Camelback, Bali, Bell. That's going to give pause to manufacturers that are kind of straddling both worlds. Like, let's throw out Columbia as an example. I have a good amount of Columbia camo and a couple of Columbia pairs of brush pants. You know, how are they going to respond when they say, you know, most of our product is made not for hunters. We have a small hunting and fishing line. If we're squeezed out of stores and people boycott us because of our support for hunting and fishing, is that enough? Is our small hunting and fishing gear enough worth the problem anymore? And all of a sudden, boom, say goodbye to the Columbia Witch and Parka, which I love. You know, that's not an endorsement. It's just a fact over years of wearing one.
Before we go to break, I have a minute, Carrie, before we go to break. How do we on WGN and you and how do people who understand the interrelationship between the sporting, active sporting community and the outdoor user community, mm-hmm. how do we begin to communicate that we are all in this together? It is not REI against Savage Firearms, which is owned by Vista. If we don't do this together, we have nothing. How do we communicate that?
Well, we start right now by what we're doing right now, Charlie, is talking about it, and I would hope that our friends in the hunting community who are listening in this morning would understand what we're trying to say, that it's not as simple as it might seem, and to remember, you know, you may deride people who do not hunt and fish, but if they're out in the outdoors, they're supporting you, and you need them as much as they need us, you know, because when push comes to shove, the way Washington works is bipartisan support for an issue. And if you want to work together, that's going to be a whole lot more effective than fragmenting us and dividing us as an outdoor-oriented community.
Well, we'll come back in just a moment, Carrie, and we'll talk a little bit about this. And then I also want to talk about a couple things that have suddenly jumped onto the front pages of newspapers to do with the Corps of Engineers. We are visiting with Carrie Luft, who is the CEO of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership. And this is Charlie Potter, your host of the Great Outdoor Show, the outdoor voice of Chicago and America on 720 WGN. And first, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. We were visiting with Carrie Luft, who was the CEO of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership, the foremost group in America working on economic efficiency and program delivery in conservation. And we've been talking about the need to bring the non-hunting community together with the total outdoor recreation community, as opposed to having them be divided, such as things being done now by Dick's and Dick's Sporting Goods and REI. And Carrie, before we move on to the subject of the Corps of Engineers and some recent developments, the money, everything follows the money.
Yeah.
And the money from the hunting industry dwarfs the money tax-wise because of the taxes in place from the outdoor recreation community. And so I'm wondering, someone who rides a bike does not realize that their bike trail has partially been funded by the revenues from offshore oil and gas, or that they're launching a boat to go water skiing, and that was funded by Pittman Robertson funds for public access. How do I'm thinking, if we were communicating with REI today, and of course the past chairman of REI is the former Secretary of Interior, Sally Jewell, who really, Carrie, was never a friend of the sporting community. So that maybe that mindset still lingers. But this is going to hurt the tax revenues of the country, which means that we're maybe not going to build one more boat landing ramp, or we're not going to do one more bike trail. So how do we do this?
Well, you hit it right on the head, Charlie. REI is based in Washington, and I happen to have numbers in front of me that show that in 2017, Pittman Robertson funds totaling about $630 million were doled out to the states on a formula that's based on how many hunters you have licensed in your state. Washington, where REI is based, got more than $10 million for it. Now, you and I both know, Charlie, that states across America, including the one we sit in, are straining to cover costs. Can you imagine what would happen to our DNR if they had to take a $10 million hit?
Well, they'd be in the red.
Yeah,
they don't already. They're down to less than 10.
It'd be disastrous. And you know, I'm not familiar with the Washington state budget, but I would be stunned if their natural resources director would be happy about losing Pittman Robertson funds. And, you know, as you put it so well, Charlie, that money doesn't just go for habitat. It goes for trails. It goes for outdoor access. We all share in this. It is a national resource. And hunters and fishermen, but mostly hunters, have been the backbone of funding this for as long as there's been a conservation movement in America. So for our friends who don't hunt and fish but don't know whether they support it or not, think about that and come up with an alternative if you think we should get rid of hunting in America. And for our friends who hunt and deride people who do not hunt as bunny huggers or pedal pushers or what have you, remember that they are the people who will be at your side fighting for access to public lands in America when push comes to shove. We have common interest. We need to embrace it.
Well, I wish that the corporate boardrooms of America would have the opportunity to have you say that in front of them, because REI's decision is a publicity stunt that really actually is an economic disaster if it were to be followed through on.
Well,
I
would say this, Charlie. I'm completely supportive of their right to do it, and I'm completely hopeful that the free market will prove to them the folly of their ways.
Well said. Well, let's move on, Carrie. One of our favorite subjects is talking about the Corps of Engineers, and from time to time, they get great credit for doing something. And I say that somewhat facetiously, but more often than not, particularly in the last decade, the Corps of Engineers called into question as to the feasibility or even the rationale behind what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
You want to talk for a moment about what suddenly has popped up on the radar screen as we look at, again, a swollen Mississippi River and some ideas that are taking place? Because I think all of it, this is not on the front page of the New York Times, but it's on the front pages of the sporting papers, of the farm presses, and it affects all of us in America.
Well, let me give you some background. You know, In geologic terms, the Mississippi River has long been trying to move westward and to take over the Atchafalaya River. This would be disastrous for our country because, it's a geological event. It would happen without intervention, and man, in his hubris, has tried to stop it forever. There is a control structure on the Mississippi called Old River, and it is built by the Corps, and it says that, and it basically keeps the Mississippi going on the route it's going by siphoning off some water to the Atchafalaya Basin, about 30%, and 70% keeps going down the river. Now, the problem is that this, like most things when man tries to control nature, Old River is, has been, in 1973, flood currents swept away one of the walls and at Old River and might have been washed out overnight, and that would have crippled America. Now, with the river high,
because the Mississippi would have changed course.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, there's a new completed study by an LSU professor that says the possibility of the river changing course is maybe sooner than we ever anticipated, and it's on the way, perhaps as any time. The Mississippi is enormously high right now. The Bonne Carre spillway north of New Orleans was just opened up, which is a fairly rare occurrence. And, you know, what the Corps has said is that, you know, we really have a decade or two until we need to start worrying. That's jaw-dropping to me, Charlie, because as we have discussed many times on this program and in duck blinds across America, the Mississippi is the lifeblood of the Midwestern agricultural markets. That's how the grain gets to markets around the world. That's, you know, New Orleans is a top five port. And to say we've got a decade before we have to start worrying about a potentially catastrophic event that would cripple that entire system is jaw-dropping to me. Start worrying today. Start figuring out what we're going to do because, you know, if history tells us anything, Charlie, when man tries to control nature, nature ultimately wins.
Well, in the last 60 seconds or so, Kerry, Old Man River is what right now is the thread that holds together the shipping, as you said, of the oil and gas and grain and the whole transportation to the center of the country. There was an interview with a friend of mine on TV the other day out of Natchez, Mississippi, 71 years old, and he said he's lived through 3 500-year floods, 4 200-year floods, and 7 100-year floods in the last 25 years. In 30 seconds, tell us what this means.
I can't do it in 30 seconds, but when you hear 100-year flood, that doesn't mean that it comes once a year. That's shorthand for the odds of it happening in any one year. And so that's how we can have 500-year floods every other year. But that would be a great topic for another discussion. Perhaps our friend Bob Marshall from New Orleans could get on and explain it better than I ever could. But don't listen to something and say, oh, it's a 100-year flood. We won't have another one for 100 years. That's not how it works.
No, it's a 1 in 100 chance. So on that chance, Kerry, I think it would be a great subject because the river is going to rise for a few more weeks.
Yep.
And in Illinois, it's going to rise as it always done. And as Donald Hay says, you know, put a sandbag on in New Orleans when you start opening up a levee on the Illinois River. So let's talk about that in the future. Thanks for being with us, Kerry. It's wonderful. Kerry Luff, the CEO of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership. This is Charlie Potter, your host of the Great Outdoors Show on WGN Radio, the outdoor voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.